Well, good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Liz. I'm one of the ministers here at St. Hilary's, and it is wonderful to be sharing God's word with you this morning. Let's pray as we come to it. Father, thank you for your word to us that has been helpful and faithful to your people over many generations. Lord, as we come to listen to your heart for us this morning. May we be focused on the goodness of your kingdom and who you are in the midst of all that is going on in our lives and the world around us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I almost feel like I actually could just leave it at Becca's kids talk because the shape is almost identical to my sermon this morning. But have you ever felt like, and I know that most of you have because I saw your hands, you've done all the legwork for something, but then someone else gets to take the credit. Maybe the job that you have just requires it of you. Maybe you got a new job and left right as something was about to launch. Is it something that you do easily, or is it something that frustrates you? The annoying fact that someone else is getting to take the credit for all the work that you have done. And I know it's not just me. But what if we looked at our lives, the elements within it, the things that we do, at a higher level than just who got the cake, as one piece in the broader kingdom of God? What if our focus turned from what we have or haven't done or have or haven't received the credit for to what God can and will and has done himself? And so we're reaching the end of our series on the Psalm. This is our last week because we are coming to the end of David's life. And we find David in a situation where he is setting up his son Solomon to take over and inherit the project that was most deep in his heart, the building of a permanent temple for God. And the psalm that we had read to us in many translations is scripted as being one that was written by David for use at the dedication of this temple. So today we're going to look at the idea of what does it mean to live our lives for God's kingdom in his timing, not our own. Well, the first reading comes from towards the end of the book of 1 Chronicles. So after that is really just a few chapters of lists of all the people that were in Israel at the time, or all the people that were in service of David at the time. And then David actually repeats almost all of this chapter to the people of Israel at the point at which he hands over the leadership of Israel to Solomon. He knows his life is coming to an end. He has done many things for God across this life, but the thing that he had most dreamed of doing was to build that temple for the Lord. But he never got to do it. And he knows that he never will, because God has told him that he has too much blood on his hands. He has been too compromised by his actions in war. But, David, God has promised that your son would build it instead. A both joyful and bitter announcement, really. David will never see the completion of this thing on earth that his heart most desires to see. But God will work through his son. And at this point, he has two choices. He can essentially go, well, God's let Solomon do it, not me. So work it out, son, have fun. Or he can take the space to leave him prepared and set up for the task to come. And David, in his grace, chooses the second option. The preparations for the building of the temple are what is taking place at the end of the book of 1 Chronicles. David takes his son and he charges him to follow the commands of the Lord so that he may build the temple. If you ever want to use Joshua 1:9 as your favorite Bible verse, but you're sick of everyone using it, 1 Chronicles 22:13. Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you and shall go before you. And he lets him know not only the commands of the Lord, but I've made all these preparations for you too. I found the materials. I found people to do the work. I'm in fact standing here encouraging the leaders of Israel to be by your side and help you do it. And then he tells the whole of Israel to help him in achieving this task. It's incredible how much in leadership turnover today, people are just left to get it on, work it out on their own. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we started looking more of it like David and the way he hands over to Solomon? But the thing I most want to encourage us with out of this section of the passage today is to be reminded that there are some things in this world that are completely out of our hands and only in God's. They will happen in his timing, not our own. They may unfortunately never happen, but we have to trust him with these things. There is a serious challenge in not seeing an idea God has given us through to fruition. What if I get it wrong? What if that little bit here that in my mind was supposed to go there ends up over there? We must learn to trust that God will see his purposes fulfilled. Because it's not about us building our own kingdoms. It's about us helping to build his, right? God will build his own kingdom, whether we are helped or not, right? But what a privilege that we get to walk with him in that. There are times in my own life where I've had this incredible idea that I feel like is going to be the thing. Feel like it was the thing that I was put on earth to do. And then when I've gotten close to putting it into action, something has changed. God has turned my path. And at that moment, it is devastating. This thing that maybe you've had this experience that in your heart, you've poured time and energy and effort and maybe money into. And it just goes poof. And yet, in most of those situations, as I've walked down the next part of the road, I've realized that all that went into that was actually setting me up for something different. Sometimes opening my heart to the opportunity that was going to come, or helping me be in the right place, surrounded by the right people, in order for the right opportunity to come, this other thing that actually is going to do more to serve God's kingdom than it is about serving me. Sometimes God doesn't take away our dreams, but instead re-centers us on his kingdom and his heart. And that's what he has done with David. It is David's relationship with him, knowing the goodness of who he is, that allows him to lay that dream at God's feet and hand it to his son. And so we come to the psalm. And depending on which commentary you read, as it turns out, this psalm has many different origins or purposes. Some use it as an example of how actually the ascriptions at the start of psalms sometimes belong to the psalm before. Others, because this one is a bit about sickness, so it doesn't really quite fit with the temple to come, but actually if you read Psalm 29, it kind of does a little bit more. Others assume that it is about the dedication of a house for David rather than the temple. Others highlight the importance of this psalm in acknowledging the way that God heals, absolutely 100% true. But here's the thing. It's okay if all or none of these things are true. What is true is that this psalm shows us yet again something of the heart that David had for the Lord. It shows us the full depth of the way that God has helped David throughout his life so that he would, in fact, land in a place at its end where he cared more about God's purposes than his own. And so what can we take from this psalm in the context of David's life? I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. In the context of these two passages together, friends, some of us are closer to the ends of our lives than others. We actually don't know who in this room is, in fact. Could be any of us. Which means that all of us need to be thinking about how we are proclaiming God's faithfulness in whatever season we are in. What is God calling you to? What is God calling this community to? In order to build for his kingdom. First of all, he is calling us to seek him first. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. And the interesting thing about these two verses is that many commentators explain about it being a healing of sickness. My first read of it, having spent a lot of the last year in David's life, right, was actually reflecting on the amount of times that David saw himself feeling like he was at the end of his life. Someone was going to end his life, and every single time God brought him back. And every single time he called out to God for help. You might be in the best circumstances of your life and you might be in the worst circumstances of your life, but in all of them, it is our responsibility and our privilege to call out to the Lord God for help. Second, he is calling us to trust him. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's not from here, that's from later in the Bible. In the midst of every season of our lives, we can trust him. When things are going well, it's really easy to. It's also really easy when things are going well to forget that it's even God that's the one that's helped us get there. When things aren't going well, it's harder to trust that God knows what he's doing. But it's sure easier to call out for him for help. It's actually much easier to live life just trusting him in every season. Whatever that looks like for you. And finally, he is calling us to praise his name. Throughout this psalm and many of the psalms, the response is to sing praises to the Lord. You, his faithful people, praise his holy name. For you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed it with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. I could probably talk for this for about another 25 minutes, but I'm not going to, because ironically, on a Sunday where we're talking about the building of the temple to come, Adam and the wardens are doing a building update on what's going on with this building. David's desire to build a temple was to give the presence of the Lord a permanent place to reside on earth, a place for his people to come and to sing praises to his name. But the good news for us is that we actually no longer require a specific building. The gift of the Holy Spirit for those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ means that we each are living temples of the Lord God. We don't need buildings to praise him. They're useful and good, don't get me wrong. They are helpful for our gathering together to sing praises to his name. But God does not just dwell in buildings. He dwells within us. Which means that we can seek him and trust him and praise him wherever we are, not just when we gather together here on a Sunday. And so as we seek to put his kingdom first, my prayer for us as a community is that we would be reminded of this. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. God is faithful and true. And we can trust him in all things. As we were praying before the service this morning, Judy had this image of green shoots coming up from the ground. And as our praises rose up to God, as we, his people, came together to praise him, it was just green upon green. Growth that flowed out everywhere. Friends, we have the privilege of being God's people to come here and sing praises to him, to pray to him, to share in community together, to be able to share the goodness of who he is that we might go out into the world to make known his name. I pray that as we think about our lives, not just in this room, but out in the world around us, that we would ever be thinking about how we are proclaiming God's faithfulness to the world around us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are faithful, that we can trust you. Lord, I pray that this morning that you would encourage each and every one of us to take space in our lives, in this moment, in this week, to seek you first. Lord, to come before you in prayer. And as we think on each thing that we have to do this week, in our family lives, in our work lives, in the other places that we gather, that our hearts would be turned not to building our own kingdoms, Lord, but to building yours. And may that flow into everything that we do. For the joy that it is to love your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.